Chapter 39.
Two miserable, lonely days pass before I find the courage to call on Felicity under the pretext of returning a book.
"I shall inquire whether she is at home, miss,"
Shames, the butler, says, taking my grandmother's card, on which I have added my name in neat script. In a moment he returns my card to me, alone.
"I am sorry, miss. It seems Miss Worthington has gone out after all."
On the walk I turn back. Looking up, I see her face at the window. She immediately ducks behind the curtain. She is home and has chosen to snub me. Anne comes out to me at the carriage. "I am sorry, Gemma. I'm sure she doesn't mean it. You know how she can be." "That doesn't excuse it," I say. Anne seems agitated about more than this. "What is the matter?"
"I've received a note from my cousin. Someone's made inquiries about my claims to be a relation of the Duke of Chesterfield. Gemma, I'll be found out."
"You won't be found out."
"I will, once the Worthingtons know who I am and that I've deceived them. Oh, Gemma, I'm done for."
"Don't tell Mrs. Worthington about the note."
"She's already so very cross about the dress. I overheard her telling Felicity it was as good as ruined now that it's been let out for me. I shouldn't have let her talk me into it. And now, I'll be ruined forever, Gemma."
Anne is nearly ill with her fear and worry. "We'll remedy it," I say, though I have no idea how. Up at the window, I see Felicity again. So much to remedy. "Would you give Felicity a message for me?"
"Certainly," Anne moans, "if I'm still here to give it."
"Would you tell her that I've seen the temple? I saw it in a vision the night of the ball."
"You did?"
"The three girls in white showed me the way. Tell her whenever she's ready, we'll go back."
"I shall," Anne swears. "Gemma."
Not again. I cannot help her now.
"You won't tell Tom about all of this, will you?"
If he finds out, I don't know whom he'll hate more for the deception, Anne or me.
"Your secret's safe."
I can't bear to return home. Father's deteriorating rapidly, crying out for laudanum or the pipe, some opiate to take away his pain. Tom sits outside Father's door, his long arms resting on the tops of his bent knees. He is unshaven, and there are dark circles beneath his eyes.
"I've brought you tea," I say, handing him the cup.
"How is he?"
As if in answer, Father moans from behind the door. I can hear the bed creaking under the weight of his thrashing. He cries softly. Tom puts his hands on either side of his head as if he could squeeze all thoughts from his skull.
"I failed him, Gemma."
This time I sit beside my brother.
"No, you haven't."
"Perhaps I'm not meant to be a doctor."
"Of course you are. Anne thinks you're going to be one of the finest physicians in London," I say, hoping to cheer him. It is hard to see Tom, impossible, arrogant, unstoppable Tom, feeling so glum. He is the one constant in my life, even if the constant is irritation. Tom gives a sheepish grin.
"Miss Bradshaw said that. She is most kind, and rich as well. When I asked you to find me a suitable match with a small fortune, I was only joking, but you took me at my word, I see."
"Yes, well, about that fortune," I start. How do I explain this lie to Tom? I should tell him before things go much further, yet I can't bring myself to confess that Anne is no heiress, only a kind, hopeful soul who thinks the world of him.
"She is rich in other ways, Tom. Remember that."
Father groans loudly, and Tom looks as if he will crawl out of his skin.
"I can't take much more. Perhaps I should give him a little something, some brandy or..."
"No! Why don't you go out for a walk or to your club? I'll sit with him."
"Thank you, Gemma."
He gives me an impulsive peck on the forehead. The spot feels warm.
"Don't give in to him. I know how you ladies are. Too soft to be proper guardians."
"Go on then, away with you," I say. Father's room is bathed in the purplish haze of dusk. He moans and writhes on the bed, twisting the linens into a wreck. The air smells of sweat. Father is drenched in it, his bedclothes plastered to his body.
"Hello, Father," I say, drawing the curtains and turning up the lamp.
I pour water into a glass and put it to his lips, which are cracked and white. He takes halting sips.
Gemma, he gasps. Gemma, darling, help me.
Don't cry, Jem. Be strong.